Hi, everybody. It's Diane, and it is Wednesday, February 22nd. I'm here with the 1 o'clock group. So far, we have Lori and Jane and Jody. Who wants to start us with check-ins and celebrations?
Well, I could start. This is Lori from, I think it's about 68 degrees here in Chicago, which is a celebration.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or this winter, at least here, we've had haven't had any snow since mid-December, so it's great. So celebration is actually, it's really in line with what today's topic is, because we've had my daughter, who's 13, has had just recently some big arguments with friends, which was very unusual, and to the fact that the friends wouldn't even talk to her, and so we did a lot of discussion and is she able to apologize without saying, "And now it's your turn to apologize," type thing. So she's actually, she actually met with a friend and we celebrate that she worked out one argument very maturely on the girls on their own, and the other one, now at least they're texting, which is the first step. So that's our celebration, that she recognizes her challenges and emotional control and is working towards how to adjust in the social realm.
How does she feel about the progress she's making, Lori?
It was very positive, and it came out, I don't know if it was in the Tribune or someplace I read, there was an article about a part of the brain with ADHD and emotion regulation, and it was just right after she had this huge fight with her friend who basically says, until Lily apologize for all these reactions, it's the end of it. So we were talking about this, Lily kind of says, well, I have ADHD, so it's much harder. And so we kind of have to go over, that's not an excuse. You understand it, and so how do you work towards that? And what are some of the things, the tools you have to do to be aware of it so you don't blow up, or when you do get into that heated situation, we're working on it. I mean, she's just almost 14, and so it's still kind of, she's still young, but it's getting better.
Well, and the thing that I love about what you're sharing is that she's got some buy-in, and this is kind of one of the things that we've talked about a lot is, kind of once there's some motivation on our kids' part to fix the challenge, it's a great place to dive in and take aim. And so it sounds like you're taking that full opportunity and really partnering with her and supporting her with her with a sense of compassion, which I love to hear, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So thanks, Lori. Who else?
I'll go. This is Jody. We had great news in the last couple weeks. My daughter got accepted to both schools, colleges she applied to, and she got scholarships, and so now the ball's in her court. And as she said, I set this goal and I reached it, and she was very, very happy and very excited, and we're really proud of her. And I can't tell you what a 180 it's been from last year even. So big celebrating here.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. What is she most proud of?
Well, I think she pulled herself from failing grades last year to almost a 4 point this year, and she hasn't had that kind of academic success since maybe sixth or seventh grade. She really struggled the junior high and early high school years. So she recognizes that she's kind of figured out how she needs to work and what help she needs, and she's cognizant of it, which is fantastic. Because mm-hmm. My oldest also deals with ADHD, and he's not there. Like, he doesn't have that same cognizance of where he has to use different coping mechanisms than other people. So that part's great. And she's just being on top of her work is probably, that was why she would fail. She, couldn't find her homework. She didn't finish it, or she lost it somewhere in the process, or she just didn't turn it in, kind of those traditional organizational things that people struggle with. And somehow on her own, she figured it out. And that's so empowering for her.
And it's maturity, too. I think that's the piece of it is that, there's two parts of it. One is kind of if we focus on it with our kids as much as we do, they start to pick up some of it and begin to create some momentum, and the maturity level kicks in. And so the executive function that she needs to be successful was not at the same level of development that it was even 12 months ago, which is very cool to watch and see how that changes.
Yeah, because there was a hopelessness. She was sunk in her junior year, feeling like she was ruining her opportunities for college, and that emotionally was very difficult. And we talk about, you know, what she was able to overcome and her resilience and how important that was, and she takes it all in. I've got buy-in from that one.
Yeah, that's great.
Not
that's
the older exciting. One. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're all on their own trajectory. It's nice that you've got one out of the two in a place where you feel a little bit more solid. And doesn't mean tomorrow she's not going to have a struggle. It's just nice that, you know, sometimes it's one of them and sometimes it's the other one. It would be nice if it was both of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Yeah. Awesome. Jane, what about you?
My son is 16 in the 10th grade, and he's in the spot where Jody's daughter was last year. So he failed all of his classes last quarter, but the celebration is that now this particular quarter, the grades are all passing except for one, so that's effort on his part, and he feels good about that. So I was just taking my walk today thinking, well, he'll never get into any college, and I'm going to have to figure out in the community college or maybe a certificate program. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to add that I've dealt with everything with him, with the first thing is compassion, and so we've had an improved relationship significantly, and the tone of our home is much more pleasant all the time now.
That's awesome. I know you've been working hard on that, so I know mm-hmm. that it feels good to kind of say that you're noticing such a shift in the relationship. I guess I'm curious, Jane, when you kind of the conversation you had in your head on your walk, was that more of a worrisome forecast? Was that more of a neutral forecast? Was that an optimistic forecast? I mean, how would you kind of characterize some of the voices in your head?
I think it was a forecast of I've got to accept what his particular strengths are and challenges, and one of his challenges is academic work. So I think that college might not be for him, even though he wants to have his own business and thinks he needs a business degree. He just struggles with school, and I think when I heard Jody say about organization, that's a big part of it, but I also think there's also a little more difficulty. And we're having a meeting tomorrow. The principal emailed and said we need to discuss, because of all the failing grades, about his progress in 10th grade at that particular school. And it's a private school, and they can put him out. And so I've had huge concerns. But tomorrow's the meeting. I'm not
but it sounds
scared
like
about it.
Yeah, it sounds like you've kind of gotten to a place of resolve and kind of waiting to see ultimately what happens, but that you don't want to be Pollyanna about it, you don't want to be fatalistic about it, but you want to know that that's a possible reality for you to look at. And am I characterizing where you're at well?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very
okay.
well.
Awesome. So let me double check and see if anybody else join us. No. So, Lori, where do you want to take aim this week?
I think I want to go with the topic of the month. I know you don't have to do that, but you know, it's always a challenge to be fully accepting of things of maturity levels and, boy, why aren't you doing this? Your friend is doing this. It's just in the back of my mind. I wish, you know, I didn't have those thoughts come up. So I want to bring them front and forward and try to try to just with practice and things, it'll become more supportive and not, you know, I don't always say this, but I'm sure she can read some of these things of, especially as a teenager, it's the judgment and things. And I don't, you know, she's got such great traits and things, and we don't always celebrate those. So.
So you wanna be a little bit, if you wanna check the transparency of any judgment that's still there, and make sure that what you're saying and sending to her is what you want, which is acceptance and appropriate expectations. Did I get that right?
Right, and recognizing, you know, the great things that she does, and praising those. And I was just reading some article on your website, and it mentioned all that. Mm-hmm. That sometimes we forget to, especially for teenagers, to say, well, boy, you did a great job when, in the pet like, okay, like last night she helped empty the dishwasher. But to me, that's kind of like, she should be doing that. But she doesn't do it normally. So I probably lost that opportunity to say, thank you so much for helping me last night, you know. So, but things like that are just, you know, just praise for just little things that are not the typical that she does, and it gives her shown that she's accepted and appreciated.
Yeah, so I can hear you wanting to take aim on positivity. Is there a particular situation or type of, you know, situation that where it's harder for you to kind of stay in that positive place? I want to maybe set you up for success by maybe picking one area in particular to focus in on a little bit more.
Because it's kind of like, you know, there's all the typical household things that it'll be great, especially as a single parent, you know, I do everything. And the house is just, I mean, it's like a negative contribution. It's not even, she doesn't do anything, so it's neutral. It's like a mess. But in the big picture, that's not so important, you know. But it's kind of like it's an easier thing to take aim saying, hey, you know, thanks for spending 5 minutes on your bedroom. But I don't know. It's hard because it's hard to choose something that, you know, right, like right now, we're struggling with the communication with her friends. And so it's like when I told her that I was so proud of her when she was able to sit down with her friend. I mean, I kind of coached her before we even went over to the girl's house, but things like that or reaching out on texts and things. So those to me are much more important because it helps with her whole building up her communication skills and dealing with conflict and, you know, just relationship building.
So maybe you just play with it a little bit and you focus on, you know, highlighting her strengths and her successes in general. And then if you notice that you're, you know, finding that it's hard or that you're beating yourself up when you miss opportunities or whatever it is, then to kind of maybe focus in and be more specific as a place to take aim. How does that feel?
Yeah, that's good because, yes, that's good.
Okay. Great. Jody?
Well, I think I want to focus on my oldest and school and college. And the compassion piece, I think we've gotten better at it. I can tell you we were terrible at it for years, and it made things so much worse. And it wasn't always conscious, but, you know, he'd get in trouble at school for, you know, running around the classroom. This is when he was younger, and, you know, I'd have that disgusted look on my face, you know. He's had years of it, but I think we're doing better, and I'm more conscious of it. But I guess my problem is he probably has gotten some quarter grades in. I haven't seen them yet. I feel like he's hedging. He's got some supports in place this semester, and I want to make sure he's using them. And I guess I need to know how to approach it where I'm not controlling.
Okay. So how to support without controlling from afar.
Right. 2.5 hours from afar. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Jane, what about you?
I wanted to take aim on my son going to bed by around 10 so that his brain can work more effectively the next day, and adjusting the pre-sleep time routine.
Okay. So what, so specifically the challenge, what are you seeing is a difficulty that's caused by the bedtime he currently has?
He has a really hard time falling asleep. And so his brain just doesn't allow him to fall asleep, and he takes the melatonin, but that's not always helping him. And I've done a lot of research, and I guess the bedtime routine prior to that, like, you know, we don't do screen time and just do more relaxing things. And he didn't, you know, I didn't have buy-in from him because he would wake up exhausted and go to school and be exhausted and just not do well. And it's probably half of why he had so much trouble in school.
So what kind of buy-in do you have from him now to focus on this particular issue?
Well, I'm hoping there's a little more because the day before yesterday he came home so tired. He said, I'm taking a nap. I said, oh, well, that's going to affect your being able to fall asleep tonight. Well, he did it anyway around 7 and then stayed in bed the entire night. And then yesterday woke up so rested. He got his projects done in school. He got everything done. He had all this physical energy. He was, like, in a good mood. So I tried to tell him this morning on the way to school, when you get your rest, so I'm trying to get buy-in. Look at all the good things. You had success. And I kept saying that he was successful. So I'm trying to, like...
Yeah, I love that. So the reason, so I go through this with my kids. So can I tell you my own personal perspective on this and see if it resonates with you?
Definitely.
So my kids think they can stay up late. And they may or may not be able to. And they're motivated to get out the door and get up on time. But they're not motivated to go to bed at a certain time. And so if I were to focus on the issue as being, let's get into bed at a certain time, they would get, the buy-in would be completely different than, let's focus on getting enough rest so that you have the energy to get through your day and not have to come home and have to take a nap when you get home. And so I'm kind of curious how your son will react to, you know, a more open sort of, let's figure out how to get you more rest, because my daughter actually was taking 2-hour naps every afternoon and it was helping her, versus the going to bed at 10 or even maybe focusing in on the falling asleep part of it. Maybe it bugs him that he is having a hard time falling asleep at night. So I guess, you know, is there a conversation with him to figure out exactly where to point the taking aim lens rather than the 10 o'clock piece is kind of what's coming up for me. Does that make sense?
It does, because the 10 o'clock piece right away will rub him the wrong way, because then he'll think, I can't do this, I can't do that.
Right.
She's, you know, giving me rules and that's not what I'm going to want. So, yeah, that takes him down the wrong path. So I guess the open one would be where I could say something about how much better he felt and can feel, and how can
what problem might he want to solve? Having energy during the day, doing really well, falling asleep easily?
I have a feeling falling asleep easily would be probably top, because he's always complained about that.
Okay.
Being able
so
to fall
what
asleep.
Do you think about
kind of playing
with that a little bit?
Okay.
If he wants to get up, what? Say it again.
He wants to get up and be ready to, you know, go out the door. He really wants to get up and get going and feel good. But, yes, he's exactly what you were saying. He thinks he, you know, going to bed late is okay because I can just get by in school by just being dopey all day and tired.
Well, and the interesting thing, just a side note, that we found was that it's more about sleep cycles than it was about the number of hours. And so he did really well with 6 hours of sleep and 8 hours of sleep, but 7 hours of sleep, he was a zombie. You know, it was just kind of this odd sort of thing where if you caught him at a cycle. And so I think that, you know, part of it is helping him figure out how much sleep he really does need, because a lot of ADHD adults particularly have a hard time. My ex-husband gets up at like 4 a.m. and, you know, it's like he's like wide awake and doesn't have anything to do. And it's like, you know, I think that that's a really common issue. So it's helping him to figure out how to fall asleep successfully or how to rest and relax and wind down and some of that other stuff might be a tool that he could, he'll take into lifetime in a different way. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does. It's better.
Cool. All right. So we are talking today about compassion. And it's February, so compassion is one of those heart topics. And I was reflecting on the fact that we're kind of walking through the ACE process, because 2 weeks ago we talked about acknowledging and validating, which is the A in ACE. Compassion is the C in ACE. And then explore is the third piece of it. And particularly with our teenagers, you know, the tendency we have as parents is we see a problem or our kids tell us about a problem, we immediately jump to solution, right? So we're like, oh, you're having a hard time turning your homework? You should do this. You know, so we kind of are quick to the gun with the solution. And so the ACE process is a really great tool to use. We want to acknowledge their situation. We want to show some compassion. We want to explore with them some alternatives before we come up with a solution. So this idea of compassion is about really seeing things from our kids' point of view. And, you know, I kind of have liked doing these teenage groups because, and having teenagers is, I think, a lot easier from a compassion perspective than when my kids were younger, because I have more of a memory of what it was like to be a teenager. I remember arguing with my parents. I remember, you know, being frustrated and slamming my door, and I remember wanting to be independent and not being allowed to be independent. And I remember, you know, it's like all of those things that I remember. And I think that the other piece of it is that there's a lot of our kids' life experiences that we can relate to. You know, so a common place to throw some compassion is, you know, when we tell our kids they need to get off their screens. It's like, you know, I could really relate. If somebody were to tell me that I needed to turn off a movie in the middle of a movie, that would be really hard for me because I like, you know, it's like I'm really enjoying it. I'm liking what I'm doing. If somebody were to come in and say, nope, sorry, you got to turn it off, it's bedtime, it would be hard for me. And so I find that some of these areas that our kids are experiencing on a day-to-day basis are easier to show compassion, either because I remember it or I've experienced it kind of in my life, kind of in my day-to-day as well. And the piece here that can also be really important and helpful is that when we show the compassion, we don't move past it quickly. You know, it's like, I can tell this is hard for you. I've had something happen like this for me as well, but, you know, we throw the big old but in there, right? And we move quickly and say, but you got to do it anyway, or but this, but that, you know, and we tend to do that. And so I always say when we're showing compassion to stay there for at least one reaction. So it's kind of like, oh, Mom, I'm watching my favorite show right now. I know it's really hard to break away from your show. And it doesn't, you know, it's no fun for me when I have to quit doing something that I'm really involved in. And then I just stop, right? And you let them react. Because compassion is an opportunity to let our kids really clear some energy. They're upset about something. They're worried about something. They're, you know, whatever the emotion is that they're feeling, when we show them compassion and connect with them, it's an opportunity for them to maybe further express what they're feeling or just even get rid of some of the emotion that might be bottling them up and getting them stuck. So it's a really important tool to get buy-in, to get our kids back in problem-solving mode, but it's a step that's hard to remember and easy to kind of gloss over. So I'm curious, for the three of you guys, what about this idea of compassion is hard for you, is easy for you? What do you notice?
This is Jane, and I have tried to do that with the video games, and I realized that it's hard to be interrupted when you're in the middle of a mission. And it used to be like, I don't care about a mission. You've been on it for an hour. And now I realize that, you know, that's important to him, and so I try to not interrupt or to be aware that he's that's important to him. But what's hard is that I can see the games making him angry, and then him starting cursing and getting upset, and I'm thinking he's just so overwrought and addicted to these games. And then, you know, if I say that, oh no, I'm not. So that's why it's hard for the compassion. But.
Yeah, so it's hard to watch it because you see that his affect changes, and so it's interesting that when you share it with him, his reaction is no, I don't. And so I'm wondering whether there's a way to share it with him that he might hear in a different way. I don't know. It's kind of like, or whether he's just going to react that way every time you say something to him. So how important is it to kind of think about how to share with him what you see when he plays the game so intently?
It's important because I think he spends too much time and too much time irritated, and then he's mad at himself, I think, because he likes to be outdoors and doing other things. But it's a draw to, like, keep on going, and hours can go by. Mm-hmm. And I think he would prefer to not be so caught up. So
yeah.
Maybe.
So if you were going to start a conversation with him and include some of this ACE stuff, either the acknowledgement or the compassion or both, how would you approach it with him?
I think I would try to do it like you were giving the example of. I know it's hard to stop a show when you're really interested in it, so maybe you could, I don't know how to say it, because he would need to see that it's creating stress for him, and he would need to first acknowledge that he's having stress. I don't know exactly how to approach it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can hear you upstairs screaming and cursing and whatever, and it seems like you're not having a fun time.
Huh. Well, what's coming up for me is kind of whether you could reflect what you see without the story behind it about the gaming. So, wow, you seem really intense right now. What's up? Wow, you seem really distracted right now. What's up? Wow, your voice was really loud. What was that all about? You know, so it's just really more of a, instead of a, you know, is there a step before mentioning the game or somehow involving the game that could just reflect like a mirror for him what you're seeing without adding the story, which it sounds like he's hearing as judgment? Is that fair?
Yeah, because it is coming out probably as judgment, like that stupid game is causing you to be so, you know, mad. And then,
of course, because it's obvious that it is, right?
And he doesn't think they're stupid. He thinks they're
right.
You know,
right.
Great. So, yes, I could definitely approach it with, wow, I could hear you down here. What's going on?
Yeah, just stay with curiosity without the, and it's so hard not to attach the story to it. But I think that the more we kind of have those open conversations with our kids and just kind of say, hey, I'm really interested. What's going on here? And you may say, oh, man, you won't believe what my friend did. And he jumped in front of me and I shot him and blah, blah, blah. And then you can have the conversation about the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think that that's the piece of it is that, you know, if you're talking about the game and you can say, wow, you know, if I was playing this game, it would just exhaust me. I don't know how you do it. You know, something like that where it's just more of a connection rather than and kind of staying in this side of the judgment line, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Other thoughts?
Well, I have the same issue of screen time and It's not affecting her. I mean, it's just, now it's Grey's Anatomy, which I think she's on this season. But
that's what we're watching, too.
Yeah, I think they're on, like, season 3. You know, she's got years of seasons to catch up with. And so then there'll be some other show. So, but it was kind of like, you know, she has to – I let her watch a few minutes before when she comes home, kind of, and then it's homework time. But the shows are probably – 40-some minutes, I imagine it's, you know, so it's kind of like, she always basically gets interrupted, and I give her like a five-minute 10 minute warning, and then it's time to turn it off, and it's always in the middle of the show. So it's the same thing. She gets frustrated, and so I'm not, you know.
So I know that we talked about this in one of the, early, I don't know if it was the last call, Lori, or the one before that. Tell me what you tried after we talked about, because I remember talking about Grey's Anatomy because my daughter's addicted to it now too. What have you tried since the last time we kind of tackled this one?
Well, we've tried before she even starts. We time out all of her homework, and she hasn't, you know, the show. She says how much homework, so then she kind of agrees with the schedule. And in some ways, it's she's had very light homework, so it's I haven't been so rigid. And okay, you said 15 minutes or 10 minutes of watching, and now it's half an hour. So I haven't always held her to that because I know she only has a little bit of homework. But there's still the pushback. I would say, you know, most of the time there's still five more minutes. And I sometimes say, okay, 5 more minutes because it's like whatever. And that's the problem right there. So I sometimes just say no. We said we agreed, but it's trying to balance a happy, calm home with what's 5 more minutes.
Yeah. So hang on a second. So what do you think she would like?
She would like to watch the show.
She'd like to watch a whole episode, right?
Right. If she's starting or finish whatever she was watching.
Okay.
But sometimes when I say 5 minutes. And she finishes it, and then she starts another one. And I'm like, it's been more than 5 minutes. It's your show over. And then I know she's on the next episode. So.
Right. So what executive function challenge is that one? Because that's clearly an executive function. Is that impulse control? Is that distraction?
Or manipulating
mom.
Is
that hyper-focus? What's that?
It's manipulating mom to see if I can squeeze in another
show.
Okay,
hang on. No, it's true, and there may be some of that in there. So, but the question is, what executive function piece is kicking in there? Because my guess is that there's some executive function stuff going on too.
She's getting a bigger buzz out of watching the show than putting it down and doing homework. So,
okay.
I think executive functioning was okay. She hasn't been able to recognize that she has things that she has to get done and she needs to stop and do that. So I don't know if it's executive functioning, more of just prioritizing and, you know.
Well, that is executive function. So prioritizing is an executive function. Being able to trade off what I want to do with what I should do is an executive function. Being
right.
able to stop doing something that I'm kind of addicted to is an executive function. I mean, all of those things require a level of executive function that my guess is your daughter is still developing. Is that fair?
Yes. And actually, when you were talking earlier, I thought, gosh, maybe we could, she would spend all weekend just watching Grey's Anatomy, or whatever. And it's kind of like maybe saying, okay, we're not going to have any electronics this weekend. What other things that she'd like to do? And she might want to do coloring or go outside or something, but it's kind of,
So can I challenge you to stay this side of solution? Because this sounds like a great opportunity, Lori, to really partner with her to solve a problem. Does that make sense? Because you see that she's continuing to go on and on and on. And I'm wondering whether throwing another idea at her is what she does. She need ideas right now, or does she need you to help her solve a problem?
Well, she needs me to help her. But so, what is the solution when we've agreed to a certain time period, and I give her a warning, and then that time period comes and goes? I don't know. Do I say enough is enough? I mean, I have said that, and she's puts it down out of frustration, and then usually gets the homework done and then whatever else, and then she can go back to the show later in the evening.
Well, and I think that the solution is to go backwards and to say what's really going on. Is this, you know, is this a challenge for her because she really wants to watch an entire episode, and that, you know, if there's 80% of the time there is time for her to watch an episode. So, you know, you're brainstorming with her different ideas.
Right.
Is it, you know, so it's really, but the step before that is to really understand that this is executive function. This isn't just her saying, I'm trying to manipulate mom. There's something
right.
in there that's making it hard for her. And so I guess my challenge to you right now, because we're talking about compassion, is what would a compassion statement look like? Maybe you don't, it's not something you say to her, but something that's like, it makes total sense that, dot, dot, dot.
Right, that she wants to unwind by after school by watching her show.
Yeah,
bite my lip before I say but. Right.
So, and bite your lip before you say but. And what else is true? It's hard to break in the middle, and it's hard to break in the middle of a show when you get really excited about it. It's probably even hard to break in the middle of a season. I mean, once you kind of get into that thing, it's like, oh, but what's going to happen to Meredith and you know, in the next episode, they left it as a cliffhanger. I've got to watch the next episode. And so if it becomes about helping her to figure out how to do her homework and keep up with Grey's Anatomy, how does it shift the problem dynamic?
Right, well, then she'll become creative in saying, okay, well, you know, I can do this right after dinner. I mean, she'll come up with some other solutions. And I think there's certainly enough time right now with her homework load and to be able to watch a show and get her homework done.
So how does that feel different than the 5 minutes ago perspective? Because it feels slightly different for me from you.
Yes, it does, because it's really, you know, we have this agreement, and I think that if she buys into it, if it's truly I want to watch the end of the show, and it's the end of the show and not the next show, and then so we'll just have to see that.
Well, so that's a great statement, because so then what you're going to bump up against is whether she has the executive function to stop at the end of the show. And if she doesn't,
right,
then there's an opportunity to scaffold. So if she has a hard time, you know, if she's like, oh, I would love to watch to the end of the show, you try to last to the end of the show, and she has a hard time not starting the next one, then the conversation becomes, okay, how do you not do it? Do you have to put a lock on Netflix so that it doesn't play the next one automatically? Do you need an alarm to go off in 43 and a half minutes because you know that's when the show is going to be almost over? Do you need me to check in? Do you, you know? So then you can kind of go to the scaffolding to say, she's having a hard time transitioning off, even at the end of a show. What support does she need to help with that transition? Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Let's be good. I look forward to our conversation tonight. Or today.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay,
All right. Other thoughts around this idea of compassion?
What was your question?
Other thoughts about having compassion and what's hard about it and what's easy about it and where you think you could apply it.
This is Jody. I'm struck by your the idea that you wait for one reaction. That seems really effective to me, and it's something I don't think that I do. I think, let's say, my oldest, Quinn, says, yeah, well, now I'm behind in this class. He had mono, by the way, so that was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met with the teacher, I'm behind in the class. That I would express compassion and then wait, because my inclination is to swoop in and give him three things to do to handle that situation.
Right.
Which isn't helping him. He's got to figure this out on his own.
Right.
So I'm going to try to wait for that reaction. And he's slow with that. He's a 21-year-old guy. He's a boy. He's always been he's not as expressive as his sister. So I need to give him that chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you expect might happen differently if you gave him a little bit of space?
I would hope that he would start to own it and try his own problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is coming through, but I have this, I'm incredibly frustrated and fearful because while he admits he has ADHD, and it's significant, and it significantly affects his life in many ways, and he's had, you know, setback after setback, he no longer takes medicine. He hasn't taken it in years. It's not like he does cognitive behavior therapy or anything like that. I'm just sitting back going, boy, if you don't figure out some coping mechanisms, buddy, you're just going to keep getting knocked over.
Well, and so that makes sense that your tendency would be to jump in. So I guess, my challenge to you, Judy, if you're willing to take it, is to wait for more than one response. And so to show the compassion and then to wait. And then to say something like, so what do you think you want to do about it? Because if your tendency is to jump to throwing solutions at him, the step before that is to see what solutions he has.
Right.
What would be different if you did that?
Well, that might be a confidence booster for him. And it might make him curious. You know, no longer does he have to wait for me to go through my litany of solutions. You know, he might get curious on his own, like, wow, okay, this isn't working. What should I do? So maybe that would be effective.
Well,
definitely what I'm doing is not.
Well, and what I find is that a lot of us, and I put us in this because I was a parent who had lots of solutions for a very long time, our kids begin to wait for us to give them the ideas because it's hard. Some of these things are hard to figure out. And if I know mom's going to pop in with a couple ideas, I might just wait. But if mom holds me accountable for coming up with a couple ideas, then I might, you know, it's going to be more of a challenge for me. And so I think that it's interesting, particularly because your son is older, to say, how do you hold him accountable and for coming up with some ideas? And I don't know if I talked about it in this group before, Judy, but there's that article I wrote about what to do when your kid says, I don't know. Have you read that article before?
Yeah. No. You mean the one the one about I've got it?
No, there's another one that says, I don't know. The other one is called I don't know.
Okay.
There's one about I got it, and then the other one is what to do when your kid says, I don't know.
Okay. I have not read that one.
Basically, it's the scaffolding version of how to hold them accountable for, you know, trying to come up with ideas rather than kind of jumping in and problem solving for them right away. And it may be that you need to problem solve with him or for probably, I would say in our age group, generally all of us that are on the phone here, we should always be problem solving with our kids. They're teenagers. With rare exception, do we want to give them an idea? We want to partner with them to come up with ideas somehow, even if we're just brainstorming in front of them. But the more we can hold them accountable for challenging their brains, because as you were saying, you know, these kids are reaching a point where their problem solving is starting to kick in on some level.
Right. Yeah. And I'm seeing that. Yeah. It's just the state.
So what's going to be hard? What's going to be hard about this, Jody?
Well, I'm the listening and the waiting is, again, not my first reaction. And then putting the ball in his court, you know, what do you want to do about it? And I think maybe I need to let him sit with it for a while. Some of these things can't, you know, he's not likely to come up with a solution on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's me, you know, planning to follow up with him, where I say, well, why don't you give this some thought and we'll talk about it tomorrow or when you've got some time.
Yeah, that's great. Or even asking, when do you want to check in? I did that last night with my son. We had a family meeting and my daughter had her answer right away. And my son's like, I really need to think about this. And I said, so when do you want to get back together? He goes, let's talk tomorrow after school. And I'm like, great. Sounds perfect.
Okay.
You know, so it's that kind of take the steps back, as many steps back as you can, particularly if your tendency is to be in the driver's seat, because you want to see how far they'll step forward.
Right.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Liz, I'm going to shift us to our closing questions. If there's any other kind of general comments, happy to hear them. But I'm on page 43 in the workbook. So take a minute, jot down some notes on these final four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from all three of you. At least an aha and a commitment in terms of action.
Well, this is Lori. I can go. I think that the biggest aha that hit me, and I think the others, was to wait, you know, to take a break when you're talking, to give them a chance to respond. And I think it's, you know, for me, it's going to be hard because we're so used to saying, okay, now you need to do this. Versus, I know it's time to turn this off. I know it's hard to take a break in the middle of the show and just stop and see what they say, because she might come up with her own solutions that are agreeable. So I think that was the biggest aha, and something that I'm actually going to work on. I know I was taking aim at being positive and praising, but in some ways it's kind of the same. Or you can incorporate them in the executive challenge, saying, okay, I really like how you, when she's able to put down the phone and she starts to work, and I can recognize that that's really a great thing that she's done. So I think that they can kind of go hand in hand.
I love that. So how do you translate that into concrete action for you, Lori?
Well, I think, one, you know, coming up with agree about what we're going to do, because it comes up every single day about turning off her phone and to do whatever it is, homework or whatever it might be. But, you know, working together and having her come up with a solution, and just, you know, waiting for that interaction and initially. So I don't know what else to say. I don't know what you're looking for.
No, I'm not looking for anything. I'm just kind of trying to figure out what it, you know, a lot of times parents leave these conversations and they've got all these great ahas, but it's like, okay, so what actually am I going to do? You know, and how confident do I feel about taking that step? And so I guess that's the question is there anything that you feel is kind of standing between you and taking action on this?
No, I just think with in practice, because it's kind of waiting for the one interaction after you say it is the hardest thing. Without just keep talking. So I think that's what I'm going to try to do. But recognizing that's going to be hard, so that might not always be successful. But I think it's necessary, especially at this age, to let her then provide comments. And
so, how do you, when you're trying to create a new habit for yourself? Lori, what do you typically do? Are you like a visual person? Do you put post-its up? Do you say it over and over again in your head so you don't forget? I mean, what are some of the things that you do to try to begin to create a new habit here?
Well, in this case, I know exactly when the conversation will take place, so I can prepare before I even start saying, okay, now it's time to turn off the phone, and I know it's hard in the middle of the show, and then stop versus saying, but this is what we agreed on. You have lots of homework to do. So I can kind of prepare myself to not say the but. And I think that's the first thing when you have a habit, is to do to start doing it when you can actually control it, versus when you're in a heated moment and you're running around doing other things. The but always comes in much more readily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the other thing I heard you say earlier, tell me if this is something you're going to take into your, and is really kind of working with her to kind of come up with some options and solutions for having both what she wants as well as getting her homework done. Did I get that right earlier, that you were going to have that conversation with her too?
Yes, and I think that's right. That's before we even start things at you know, before we say, okay, you have X amount of time for the homework, or for the phone, you could go watch one, you know, basically come up with a plan before the day even starts, or the night even starts.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Jody or Jane?
This is Jane. I can go. I wanted to focus on what I paid much attention to was letting my son come up with exploring his own alternatives and opportunities for his challenges so that he can become more independent at doing this as an adult or grow into that, like you were saying. So that was an aha. And my takeaway is to show compassion for his inability to fall asleep, such as the next realistic action step would be to show ACE, like, acknowledge, I know I would say, I noticed you had a really hard time getting up this morning, and the C for compassion, I could say, I really hate it when I can't fall asleep at night. It really bothers me. And then E for explore, maybe ask him to explore some things, because he really doesn't know of other things to do so much, I'm guessing, because he always says, well, I took my melatonin. But maybe let him take some time to think of some other options he could do. Yeah, to help himself. And then if he says, well, I don't know, if he doesn't do it, which that's likely what he'll probably just not think of anything.
I was going to say, what do you need to do to set yourself up for success on this one?
Oh, okay. So I could say, all right, why don't you think about it, and then I'll check back in with you and see how you're doing.
Love that.
Pardon me?
I said I like that. And kind of, you're being his champion by saying, I have every confidence you'll come up with some ideas, and I'm just going to wait until you do.
That's cool.
All right. Joe, do you want to close this off?
Yeah, quickly. I think it's really similar. The aha was definitely the idea that I'm going to pause and I'm not going to immediately react. I'm going to let him get the chance to have a reaction. And my plan is to start a conversation about, you know, if he's got this missing work, you know, acknowledge, yeah, that's a problem, and be compassionate about it. Everybody's been there. And then pause. And then ask him for his ideas of how he's going to handle this, and check back with him later. And I'm looking forward to it. I think I've been thinking about this for a week, and I was playing around with how I was going to approach this, and I like this plan.
Good. Love that. Well, I want to hear how it goes, guys. So if you're not going to be on the call in 2 weeks, then please post something on the forum and let me know how it's been going. And this is a really good conversation. It sounds like we all have kind of a common theme going on, and I'm excited to see what ends up happening from here.
Diane, I have a question. Are you guys, I looked at to listen to some other old recordings, and nothing's been put up for a couple of weeks. I don't know.
Somebody told me the same thing yesterday. She said she was going to try to get to it today. Let me double check with her, but check in tomorrow, because I'm going to try to make sure she gets it done tonight. One of our assistants has been out with a flu, and so I think it was we missed a handoff on who was doing what. So I apologize that it's not up there already.
Great.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.